Hi, I'm Dr. Pam Peek, and welcome to episode 222 of Her, the podcast, where you'll hear the naked truth about her mind, her body, her life, and today, her brain on birth control. Say what? Yeah, I thought I got your attention. Before we begin this marvelous episode, just know that it's made possible by our wonderful friends at Smarty Pants Women's Vitamins, the delicious once-a-day gummies that contain all of the essential vitamins, minerals, and omega oils, customized just for women. To learn more, hop on over to SmartyPantsVitamins.com. And here's your official first reminder to click onto iTunes after this episode to rate and review the show, because I'm sitting here waiting for your feedback. That's correctamundo. So this is your first reminder. I'll give you another one after the show because we love to hear from you. We do. I'm here to tell you it's all true. All right. It's time for Her.
Her. The podcast.
The naked truth about women.
Her mind. Her body. Her life. It's all about her.
So there's a really, really cool and very, very nuanced and provocative book out now. And it really caught my attention, which is why I sought out the author to talk more about it. The name of the book should explain it all. This is Your Brain on Birth Control: The Surprising Science of Women, Hormones, and the Law of Unintended Consequences. Ruh-roh, what the heck was she talking about? Well, who's the she? Dr. Sarah Hill. She is a leading researcher in evolutionary psychology. Sarah, welcome to the Her Podcast.
Thank you for having me on.
Well, what the heck is evolutionary psychology? Well, I know that my listeners want to know.
Yeah, they're like, wait a minute, what is that? It is. It's just an approach to asking research questions in psychology. So my background originally as an undergraduate student was in anthropology and evolutionary biology. And it's just using these principles that, of like Darwin's theory of evolution by selection, and just this idea that the traits that we see in humans, just like the traits we see in honeybees and gazelles and, you know, elephants and every other living organism, that we can understand the function of, behavior in terms of understanding why the trait is being maintained by this process. And so just this idea of how does this trait contribute to this organism's survival or reproduction. And so it's really just a functional way of trying to understand human behavior. So when we look at behavior, we tend to look at it like, what's the function that's being served by that?
So how did this whole background of yours, which I find to be absolutely fascinating, how did it really kind of transform into this book? Why did you find this so interesting?
Well, you know, so I, to give you a little bit of background with my research, I've spent most of my career, which is about, you know, it's been over 15 years now, studying women, women's mating and sexual relationships, and health. And so those are the things that I'm really, really interested in, is like how do women make decisions about sex? How do women make decisions about their partners? I've studied things like the way that women's hormones influence their behavior sort of across the cycle, studied women's health and how that influences their psychology. And all this while that I was doing this research, at least during half of my career, I was on the birth control pill. I never really thought anything of it. I was on the pill just like everybody else was on the pill, and it did a lot of really great things in my life, because, of course, it allowed me to get an advanced degree without getting pregnant midway and having to, you know, drop out and all of the things that the pill allows us to do in terms of planning, you know, educational success and career success. And then I went off the pill. And I went off the pill after I had my second child. because my husband and I knew that we were done, and so he sort of took it upon himself to opt for more permanent means of pregnancy avoidance, and so I was able to stop taking the birth control pill. And when I went off of it, I felt very different. And I say very different. I shouldn't say very, because that might be putting too fine of a point on it. But I felt different. I felt sort of like I woke up. I went from being kind of a grayscale drawing of myself to, like, I felt like fully dimensionally alive. Like, things felt more interesting. I started listening to music again, and I was finding myself going to the gym more frequently, and I was, you know, interested in sex and men, and I just felt more in tune with my femaleness. Like, I felt, you know, feminine, and I enjoyed that, and I had more energy, and, you know, I felt vibrant in a way I hadn't before. And, you know, I'd been spending all of my career studying women, and even things like the way that hormones influence, you know, everything ranging from who women are attracted to, you know, things like, you know, their how much food they eat, how hungry they are, and so on and so forth. And it never really, I never put two and two together and thought about the fact that my birth control pills, because we know that hormones influence what women's brains are doing, that means that the birth control pill is going to be influencing what women's brains are doing. And it was actually sort of like embarrassing, you know, because I spent so long studying women and what, you know, what motivates them and what motivates their behavior and how hormones influence things like motivation and that sort of thing. And I never thought that my birth control pills would be influencing my brain, which is a blind spot. It was a huge blind spot of mine.
What I found in science, because I am a scientist as well, is that it was really interesting. So much great science comes out of personal narratives. You know, suddenly you get slapped in the head with an awareness you never even had before. And you thought, hey, I'm going to kind of go to that place. It may not even be, it could just be, you know, an observation. But, you know, especially if it affects you yourself, suddenly there's like an awakening. And if you're a scientist, you start asking questions like, what's up with that? why did that just happen to me? And why are we going to that place? And so here you are now with this awakening once you came off the pill. And now all of a sudden your science is saying and presuming now that there's some indication that the pill might affect your choice of partner or even seemingly unrelated life choices like career or attainment of higher education. What the heck? The pill did all that? How does that happen?
Yeah, well, I did the thing that scientists do, right? Is that, like, we are so lucky in our careers that we get to, like, learn things for a living. It's an amazing, like, we're so fortunate to have that. And so that's what I did. I set out to learn as much as I possibly could about what we know and don't know about the effects of the birth control pill on the brain. And so I went to the literature, and we started doing some research in my own laboratory. I'm really trying to better understand how the pill changes what the brain is doing. And it turns out that, you know, researchers have actually been studying this. You know, there's not enough research, and that's, like, part of one of the messages in the book is, like, that, oh, my gosh, you know, what we know is far less than what we don't know. But research knows a lot more than what women know. And so, you know, there's been research now for, in some cases, several decades. I'm looking at the way that the birth control pill influences things like the neurotransmitter systems in our brain and the way that that influences mood or the way that it influences women's choice of partners by changing, you know, their profile of sex hormones to the way that it influences the nature of the stress response, right, in ways that can lead to sort of feeling the low-level blahs and also potentially contributing to depressive symptomology and problems with learning and memory. And so this research has been out there, and it's just, like, been sitting in these, you know, these research journals, and it hasn't been in the hands of women. And, you know, when you talk to women about the pill, and I don't know if your experiences are like mine, but usually when women are talking about the pill, they're not talking about like their risk of pulmonary embolism or, you know, the risk of stroke. They're talking about the way that it makes them feel psychologically, like, and so it's something women talk about and are concerned about, but, you know, just haven't really had the information. And so what I wanted to do is pull all of this information out there and make it available to women, so that way when they're evaluating their choices, and again, this isn't an anti-birth control book by any means. It's just a book that's like pro-woman and pro-information. It's just about giving women the information about what we know and also what we don't know when it comes to the pill in the brain, and just things to consider, so that way when women are having conversations with their doctors, they can be sort of informed participants, right, sort of active participants in these conversations in order to help best strategize their birth control choices.
Well, you know, I was sneaking a little look at the book and the rest of it, and oh my gosh, and then I actually, you know, kind of hit Dr. Google, my favorite second opinion, and looking at this whole issue in scholarly science, right? Which is what you and I deal with. And then our job is to translate that into a vernacular that our wonderful, you know, women everywhere can thoroughly understand. So what's with the size of the brain and with hormones?
Oh,
let's go to the size of the brain. Okay, now her podcasters out there, listen up. What the heck is going on with the size of your brain and the pill? All right, Dr. Hill, hit it.
Okay, so there is some research now that is linking, and in particular, the area of the brain that seems to be getting the sort of hardest hit by the impact of the pill is the hippocampus. And the hippocampus is an area of the brain that's really important in terms of learning and memory. And it's actually the part of the brain that researchers are most sort of targeting when they're looking at the mechanisms that contribute to Alzheimer's disease. And that sort of gives you a little bit of an idea of what this area of the brain does, right? It does things like helping to move things from our short-term memory into our long-term memory and sort of creating the experiences of who we are. It helps us learn. It also plays a role in our ability to navigate through space, but it's mostly sort of, in terms of things that your listeners are going to care about, it's learning and memory. And there has been research now in multiple populations of women where they've done brain scans and looked at the size of the hippocampi of women based on their birth control pill status. And what this research finds is that women who are pill-taking have smaller hippocampi than women who are naturally cycling. And they found this in multiple samples of women now, which suggests that, you know, there might be something going on with the pill that is contributing to this. And in terms of, like, what that something is, it seems like women are exhibiting a number of indicators that are consistent with a state of, like, physiological chronic stress. So when people feel stressed out, like, imagine that you're giving a really stressful presentation in front of a group of people you don't know, generally what will happen within 5 minutes of that stressor is that your body will release the stress hormone cortisol. And cortisol gets kind of a bad rap just because it is associated with stress. But people need to recognize that, you know, stress hormones aren't actually what causes stress, right? Life causes stress. And our stress hormones actually help us cope with stress. And they do this by basically telling every system in your body, like things that are doing like cell repair or like your immune system or growth, it directs energy away from those life-sustaining activities, those day-to-day activities, and directs them toward whatever it is that's causing you stress. So that way you can cope with whatever the stressful situation is. Now, the thing about cortisol is that, you know, if we experience it when we're stressed out, it does that, and it helps us cope with stress, and it's all well and good. But if we're chronically stressed out, like, and if we're constantly releasing cortisol, that is really damaging to the body. And it's damaging to the body because, again, it's taking all of the body's energy that's going toward things like the immune system and like cell repair and growth, and it's taking those resources and directing them toward things like vigilance and these other things, you know, that we need to help cope with stress. And that obviously isn't good because the body is no longer able to repair itself, and your body can actually start to fall apart if you are having chronic cortisol signaling. Now, and I'm going to try to keep this as short and sweet as possible, but when your body, if there's too much cortisol signaling, your body shuts it down because it's just not sustainable. You know, your body can't, like, exist in a perpetual state of, like, oh, my God. And so the body shuts down the cortisol response, and, you know, one of the things, the reasons that the body shuts down the cortisol response is because it starts to kill brain cells. And it starts to kill brain cells, in particular in the hippocampus. And there's a lot of evidence now when we look at the stress hormone profiles of women who are on the pill compared to not on the pill that suggests that something with the birth control pill and, like, what that is has not yet been really clearly defined in the literature. Something with the birth control pills is causing the stress response to go crazy. It's like basically your foot on the gas of the cortisol response all the time, which is, you know, potentially contributing to cell death in the hippocampus, which is why we see the smaller hippocampi, and it's also leading their stress response to shut itself down, which can make women less able to cope with stress and can potentially lead to symptomology that's, like, associated with, like, anxiety and depression, because you're less able to cope, which means you're going to be feeling more anxious, and eventually those feelings can lead to feelings of hopelessness and depression.
All right, so now we've completely freaked out the entire podcast audience out there, right? Going, OMG, what the heck am I supposed to do? What is your recommendation based upon all of this? I mean, you know, they're waiting for the little, you know, some kind of a ray of hope here. What's going on?
Right. So let me just say this, and that is that, you know, we see this research, right? So we are learning that, you know, when we hear something like the shrunken hippocampus, we're like, oh my gosh, like, that's the most terrible thing that I've ever heard. I'm scared. I don't want to go on the pill. You know, again, like, one of the things that we need to keep in mind when we're learning this information, because it is, I mean, these are hard conversations to have, and these are hard conversations to have because pregnancy prevention is, you know, incredibly important in terms of women's ability to achieve, you know, financial parity with men, their ability, you know, to be financially independent, their ability to meet their long-term education and career goals. And so, you know, the pill is has been an absolutely amazing force in the lives of women. And I think that there's still a place for it in the lives of women, you know, and it's just really going to be a matter of sort of strategizing their options. We don't yet know what this means, for example, with the hippocampi. Like, there's some evidence that suggests that women who are on the pill may have more difficulty with remembering emotionally valenced events. So things that feel emotional, and usually we'll remember them better than things that aren't emotional. Like, you know, we'll remember our wedding day better than we remember a regular Tuesday afternoon. And there's some evidence that suggests that pill-taking women may have a deficit that way, but they may not have a big difference in how much they remember on days that are sort of, you know, emotionally meaningful versus not. And there's some evidence that shows that it may decrease pill-taking women's ability to sort of persevere on tasks that aren't a lot of fun, so sort of stick-to-itiveness. But these aren't, like, huge effects where, you know, women need to be alarmed, right? These are just some differences that we see that are worth noting. So that way, when women are making the decisions about whether the trade-offs that they're making when they decide to go on the pill are worth it, right? And in some contexts, I think that the trade-offs are absolutely going to be worth it, right? If you're at a point in your life when, you know, pregnancy prevention is super important, so if you are sexually active, you know, adolescent, like if you're like 17 and sexually active, or you're, you know, in graduate school and sexually active, you know, in these cases, like, I, you know, if I was making those decisions right now, knowing all the information that I know, I would still make the decision to go on the pill, because in those contexts, I think that the benefits of like sort of being able to be certain about pregnancy prevention and do so in a way that was, you know, easy and effective would have outweighed the cost. But in other contexts, if I was not sexually active, right, which a lot of us go through periods in our lives where we're not, if I was going on it for some other reason, like trying to clear up my skin or something, I would probably try other things first. Right, it's just really about knowing what trade-offs you're making, so that way when you're deciding what, you know, do I go on the pill or not, or and if I'm going on it for contraception, do I try something else first, that we have all of the information. So this isn't to scare women, and it's certainly, like I said, I don't, like, the pill isn't dangerous, and, you know, there's been a lot of really thoughtfully conducted medical research that's been done over the last several decades showing that that's, you know, for most women, the pill is safe. But it's just rather giving us more information so that way when we're making the decisions about when and when not to go on the birth control pill, we have all of the information.
All right. And I got an interesting question for you.
All right, let's hear
what
it.
What if you just, I have all kinds of interesting questions. What if you just,
you do.
What if you just sat back and you know, you said to yourself, okay, now I've listened to Dr. Hill. And there's no question I need to stay on the pill because, you know, all the obvious reasons. Now, could you minimize some of these consequences of being on the pill by leading a healthy lifestyle?
Right. No, that's a really great question. I mean, I think that leading a healthy lifestyle is always the answer. I mean, I'm a big proponent of you know, sort of like taking care of your body in terms of getting enough rest, managing stress, you know, eating whole foods and getting enough exercise. And all of those things really contribute to optimized health. And I think that, that you can never go wrong with that. Where I thought you were going to go with the question and what I think is a really interesting sort of follow-up to your interesting question is about whether we can maybe avoid some of this stuff just by knowing about it, which is like really interesting, right? This idea that sort of by consciously knowing what's happening and recognizing it, like, can we actually sort of think ourselves out of some of these issues, right? Like, so for just to give you an example, there's research linking pill use to an increased risk of anxiety and depression, right? And so now you know this, you know what to look out for. Is it possible that if you start to recognize these signs, that you either by noting them and knowing that it's your pill and not that your life is terrible, like, might that make you feel better? Or, you know, and I don't know whether or not that's true. It's just like sort of an interesting kind of metacognitive type of a question. But you can certainly use that information then to go to your doctor and troubleshoot your pill, because there's more than 100 different formulations that are out there. And if women work together with their doctors and sort of troubleshoot, you know, the different formulation that they're on, surely there are some formulations that will work with each individual unique woman's personal body chemistry that allow her to feel more like herself than others. And it'll just take a little bit of time and cooperation from her healthcare professional to try to find what option is going to be the best.
Okay. So, you know, it's one of those, it's great to be informed. It's great to be educated.
Yes.
And it's great to be aware of what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that awareness is where it's at right now. Are you thoroughly, absolutely aware that these things are transpiring and that maybe you're more vulnerable? Who knew, right?
Right. Yeah, no. And I think that it's really, you know, I think understanding ourselves makes life easier. You know, I think for a really long time, women in particular, you know, when our doctors didn't understand what was going on, they would tell us, we don't know what's going on. And it makes you feel alone, and it makes you feel like your experiences aren't real. It, like, makes you almost question your consciousness. And that's, you know, that's like a lonely and hard place to be. And I think that, you know, for a lot of women, this book is really going to be very edifying, and it's just going to be sort of giving them an explanation for things that they were feeling that they hadn't had a reason for, they hadn't been given an explanation for before. And I think that that is really powerful, right? It's powerful not only in terms of allowing you to make more informed choices moving forward, whether that means being on or off of the birth control pill, But also just like feeling like you understand yourself a little bit better and realizing that you can trust what your body is telling you and that there's reasons for it. And I think that that makes us feel less alone, and I think it makes us mentally healthier.
I love it. I absolutely love it. Okay, everyone out there, we've been talking to Dr. Sarah Hill. She is an evolutionary psychologist, and now you know what the heck that is. And she is a smarty pants when it comes to all things women, especially this fascinating new topic of what's going on with your brain and birth control. So run on out, grab the book, because, honey, you need to read this stuff. You know, to be informed, you know, you got to be locked and loaded with knowledge and data. So here it comes. The name of the book is This Is Your Brain on Birth Control, The Surprising Science of Women Hormones and the Law of Unintended Consequences. To learn more about her wonderful work, go to her website, Sarah E, as in Edward, Hill.com, SarahEHill.com. Dr. Sarah Hill, thank you so much for having been on the Herb Podcast.
Thank you so much for having me. This was terrific.
Awesome. And everyone out there, okay, now this is your final official reminder. Run on over to iTunes as we speak and rate and review this show, because we love to hear from you. And this is cool stuff. And this is kind of brain-blowing stuff, not mind-blowing, it's brain-blowing. And it's hormones and brain-blowing, and it's just a mess. So we're complicated. We just got more complicated. And thank you, Dr. Sarah Hill, for helping us complicate ourselves even more. Oh, my goodness. Gracious. So, you know something? This was a great episode, and we're very blessed and grateful to have had Dr. Sarah Hill with us. All righty. I'm Dr. Pam Peek, host of this wonderful Herb Podcast. Follow me on Facebook at Dr. Pam Peek or Twitter at Pam Peek MD. And remember to catch every single episode of the Herb Podcast on iTunes or Radio MD. Thanks for listening, and hey, stay well.